Good morning, and welcome to this week's MTC Studio broadcast. My name is Dean Suzuki, and I wanted to welcome you to another broadcast this week. Today we have an exciting topic to talk about: hybrid cloud management. How do you manage all those environments you have on premises, for example, like Hyper-V and VMware, and also those cloud solutions? So we'll be dropping in and talking about that. But before we get into that, a couple logistical items. If you have any questions throughout the show, please feel free to ask them in the Q&A manager on your screen, and we'll be monitoring that throughout the show. Also, if you want to go full screen on the video, you can maximize the video screen. And also, before we jump into today's topic, I wanted to highlight a couple of news items that came up this week. Microsoft made some exciting announcements on Tuesday, where we talked about our new Surface Pro 4 that's launching, our new Surface Book laptop that's coming out, our new version of the Microsoft Band, our watch, coming out as well. As well as there's a cool, on that announcement on Thursday, I'll point the link out at the end. We are also coming out with HoloLens, which is our 3D virtual reality goggle set that you can wear. And you actually see that here on the screen in the lower left-hand corner, where we can actually, we talk about virtual reality gaming coming out pretty soon. Also, we talked about the new Halo 5 that's slated to come out this year, and our new Lumia 950 phone with a technology called Continuum. This technology is really awesome because it allows basically to use your phone and plug it into a desktop and use it as your device, as your work device. But these are cool announcements, and I encourage you, and I'll point a link at the end of the show where you can see fuller details on all these releases that we have in the next coming months. But with that, I'd like to introduce today's guest, my colleague Brian Tersch, who's joining us from Reston all the way across the U.S. Welcome, Brian. Brian is one of our key MTC architects out there that deals a lot with our DoD customers, and he's helping them and has a lot of experience helping them with their hybrid cloud management solutions. So, Brian, can you quickly introduce yourself and talk about what you're seeing out there?
Hi, my name is Brian Tersch. I am one of the infrastructure architects at our Reston Technology Center. About 15 to 18 years of IT experience. You know, I've done various roles from desktop support to enterprise deployments.
Great. Hey, Brian, so why don't you take us through what you're seeing in terms of hybrid cloud management?
Yeah, sure. Some things you're seeing today, obviously cloud is very key and very important to many organizations, and in different paces that different organizations are moving, especially within the government or even in a commercial sector. But some of the challenges we're starting to find is that a lot of people, much like in security, don't want to be tied to one particular organization or one particular cloud, as well as the movement and transition to the cloud presents challenges, right? So we're going from IT or centralized IT, which people have moved to over the years, to distributed cloud computing, where you're using multiple cloud vendors, whether it's Amazon or Microsoft or Salesforce. And now IT is trying to reshape the conversation again to say, wow, now how do I manage across not only my data centers that I control and own and manage, but across multiple cloud vendors, multiple cloud services, and try to wrap their head around that type of management and monitoring. That's some of the big challenges we're having now.
So yeah, that's great. So maybe you could take us through your presentation here.
Sure. As I stated, some of the challenges that we're having right now is, I guess, managing across cloud vendors. Again, whether it's Amazon, Microsoft, Salesforce, but organizations are looking for enterprise class. But remember, cloud services are for the large and for the small. In many cases, there's organizations that don't have the budget or don't have the staff, and they're looking to offload a lot of that. But they still need to have eyes in and control their aspect. Right, we need a simple and cost-effective solution. Right, probably one of the biggest conversations I have with organizations today is they come into my sessions and we're talking and saying, "Great, I want to be faster, nimble, cheaper, stronger," and then you start describing their deployments and they're saying, "Well, we can't get to be more automated or can't get to be faster because we're a mess right now." So great, are we going to narrow down the solutions? Are we going to tie things together? Well, maybe in the future. So the challenge that people are always running across is that they're too inefficient to become more efficient. And this is where I think cloud can help a lot of people do that. But if you do it in the wrong way, it can just add another layer of complexity into your conversation. Now you have this other entity or this other section that either people are building outside of your organization or that you don't have eyes into. Also, the biggest transition that I'm starting to see, as you're looking at cloud services, people are more comfortable with IaaS or infrastructure as a service. Virtual machines is kind of where people have been feeling good for the last 5 to 8 years plus, right? But now you're seeing a lot of web-based and application-based people trying to say, hey, you know what? I'm a developer or a financial institution or I'm a military organization. I really don't want to manage the hardware, the infrastructure. I don't want to patch operating systems. And they're looking at more PaaS-based or software-based solutions and SaaS-based solutions like O365, or we talk about cloud services within Azure. So we're seeing a big shift into that DevOps model where you're finding traditional infrastructure kind of shifting now. But the best thing and one of the most important things, we'll talk about this going forward as you move to cloud or hybrid scenarios, is related to knowing and understanding your network. Quite often I have organizations come in, they say, great, we want to put some stuff in the cloud. How much bandwidth do I need? I said, what are you trying to do? I only have 20 servers. Okay, what are those servers doing? Well, we're not sure, but how much bandwidth do I need? So we're going to talk about how some of our management and how some of our solution sets can help you diagnose that aggregate of bandwidth and help you diagnose what your requirements may be. As you heard for a number of years, Microsoft with our Cloud OS vision, right? The best thing we say about our solutions and their cross-platform, cross-cloud, cross-premises, cross-vendor in many cases, right? We want this one consistent platform, whether it's Windows Azure Pack in your data center, Azure in the cloud, or even using our system center components that we're going to focus on in a minute to span locations and regions and clouds. So let's just take a few seconds here, and we're going to focus mainly on three areas today with the time constraints that we have. But as a company, as an organization, Microsoft and our system center product group has been driving hybrid and hybrid scenarios. Even us as a company and organization today still run a number of on-premise deployments as we're shifting and moving to a pure cloud organization as a Microsoft itself. If you take a look at the diagram you'll see right in front of you, there's a couple products we're going to focus on today is Virtual Machine Manager, right? How do we hybridize an IaaS solution or virtual machines? And as we go through, we'll show you connecting to Amazon, connecting to Azure, managing VMware, managing Hyper-V through a single interface, right? But not only creation, monitoring is very critical and very key. And we'll talk about operations manager and how we can do different components and monitor entities regardless of the locale, regardless of the vendor cloud. And then we'll focus on data protection manager, not necessarily in that order, because right, we're going to create, we want to monitor and maintain, and we want to back up and protect are the three areas we're going to focus on today. Now let's go ahead and move into some demonstrations on Virtual Machine Manager in a hybrid scenario. Okay, let's take a look at System Center Virtual Machine Manager. System Center Virtual Machine Manager is Microsoft's fabric and virtual machine management solution. SCVMM can manage multiple hypervisors like Hyper-V and VMware, but SCVMM is not limited to just managing on-premise hypervisors, but can manage features of Microsoft's Azure and Amazon EC2. Let's get started with a quick overview of some of the SCVMM's capabilities. If you look at this overview screen that we're currently on, you can see that we're currently managing 15 hosts and over 249 virtual machines. We also can get a quick view into our environment of a 30-day or individually day of CPU, memory, storage, and network. If we go ahead and take a look at some of our fabric management capabilities that I mentioned, you can see that we have a number of them listed currently, from classifications, providers, arrays, file servers, and fabrics. If we go ahead and click on an array, you can see we currently have a file share being managed that's run on Nutanix, the hyper-converged environment that we're running today. Not only can we manage fiber channel environments, as you know, Windows Server can act as a SAN now. And you can see that we're managing an SMB share running on our Nutanix hardware in our environment through SCVMM. But we're not limited to just SMB environments. We can also do fabric management with fiber channel switches through Brocade or various other vendors. So you can see how VMM can be used as a single interface for storage management, zoning, and storage assignment within your environment. So you no longer have to go to multiple interfaces like Brocade Advisor or Unisphere for EMC. If we go ahead and select our virtual machine environment, we can start out by checking out the clouds. What is a cloud? If I hit the properties here, you can see that a cloud is a set of resources that can be constructed of physical hosts on-premise, networks, capacity, or even a delegation boundary. Clouds can be used in a number of fashions, whether it's logically grouping or delegation in your environment. As you can see, this cloud is currently associated to me in a specific network. Below our clouds, we have our Azure subscriptions. You can see here, I'm currently connected to a particular subscription in Azure, running a number of virtual machines on a particular network. So let's go ahead and open up our Azure sign-in really quick. And you can see this is the exact same list of virtual machines that I'm seeing through Virtual Machine Manager, student 1 through 9 listed here in their current state. If I go back to Virtual Machine Manager, I'm seeing the exact same view. So let's see what we can do. If I right-click on this virtual machine and connect, which I've already done for us at the moment, you can see from this single interface, I'm now connected to a resource running in Microsoft's Azure that I can manage, manipulate, or work on. You also notice the endpoint connection, so you should know that I'm not running locally, is cloudapp.net, which is an Azure endpoint. I can also do other tasks like shut down, stop, and start a number of virtual machines. This capability is brought in recently into Virtual Machine Manager and will be expanded upon in future releases. If I expand all hosts, not only can we manage Azure, but you can see at the top here, there's a plugin that you can download from Amazon for Amazon EC2 instances. I currently don't have one configured, but we can configure our access keys and secrets and then now start importing, exporting, and managing different tasks through Amazon. If I scroll down to the bottom here, I have a section called VMware. If you notice that, just to make sure I'm showing you, we're running an ESXi node running 5.1, and you can see right here through the operating system. So we can do a number of tasks, whether it's stop, start, power off, migrate, and manage across platform and cross hypervisor through a single interface. You can see now that through Virtual Machine Manager, we've not only managed multiple hypervisors, Hyper-V, which I've shown you here, and VMware, we've also were able to manage across cloud providers through Microsoft's Azure or Amazon's EC2 through a single pane of glass. Now that you've learned how to perform hybrid management with System Center Virtual Machine Manager, we're going to continue our journey and take a look at hybrid data protection. Data Protection Manager is a component system center that provides near continuous data protection and data recovery. If you've ever worked on backups or ever have been tagged as the backup manager, you understand the challenge of long-term retention. Many organizations use companies like Iron Mountain or have large internal libraries to facilitate long-term recovery. Data Protection Manager allows us to utilize cloud to extend our on-premise recovery solutions. What you're seeing now is the System Center Data Protection Manager console. And under the management options, you can see we have three distinct repositories for data storage. The first is our traditional disk located on-premise. Additionally, tape libraries, which we're well and familiar with for anyone that's done any type of data retention. But the third option that we're going to focus on here is online. Data Protection Manager provides us the option to use either short-term or long-term retention to Microsoft's Azure storage. Go ahead and take a look at our protection groups here. I'm currently protecting a number of data points, like my domain controller. So let's take a look and modify the protection group settings. The first that we get to is, how do I want to protect my data? Do I want to use short term on disk or protect online? And here I'm combining them both. It's not a one or the other, but we can use multiple distinct options when performing our backup recovery. So I'm going to skip to my long-term retention and take a look at my cloud options that I have. I want to define the schedule of when we want to create a backup, daily, weekly, monthly, etc. And I can also now define my retention policies. The one I want to focus on at the moment is the yearly retention. Windows Azure now allows for up to 99 years of retention for backup solutions with Azure Storage. I'm currently set to 10 years because that's all I require for my moment. If I go into recovery, you can see I'm going to select my same domain controller, look at my system state, which is very critical data. And you can see the number of different backup retention points that I have. I'm just going to go ahead and select September 26. Notice my option to recover from online or from disk. So what it's saying, I'm using my on-premise backup utility, and I'm going to either recover from my local disk that's running or from the disk stored up in Azure. Again, showing you how I can combine these options for me. If I now open up Azure Recovery Services, a component of that is our backup vault. This is where our data gets stored. And we can see that we have a number of options that we can perform with backup. I can directly backup and manage from Azure, or I can protect virtual machines in Azure as well, directly without any on-prem technologies like System Center. The first option we see is Windows Server, and you can see here's my Data Protection Manager server that's running in my local data center that's feeding data up. But I'm also directly managing and backing up a virtual machine, just some files and folders. Alternatively, if I have any virtual machines running in Azure, I can then back up that virtual machine holistically versus file level. I also can take a look under protected items and see that on that local machine running in my data center, I'm backing up some files and folders or any of the virtual machines running in Azure. I can manipulate my configuration. We have two options here. One's local redundant or geo-redundant. You'll hear me say LRS or GRS. In Azure Storage, by default, geo-redundant is selected, and you have 6 copies of your data. Remember this when you're performing backups, how many copies you typically have, one on tape or one on disk. Now we're actually replicating that data 6 times between multiple Azure regions. Or if you choose local redundant, we'll have 3 times within a single region. If I connect back to my workstation, you can see I have a folder here called Azure Backup, and it's currently empty. If I open up my backup utility, my Azure Backup utility, I'm going to now go ahead and recover some data. We're going to select this server, I'm going to browse the files, and I'm backing up the CBOM currently, or specific folders and files within my CBOM. And let's go back to September 29th, just a few days ago. If I expand upon my selections here, and I'll get down to the files and folders I'm backing up, let's go ahead and just restore a single file. Remember that container was currently empty. If there's anything there, I'm going to overwrite. I have a few options to select, and we'll go ahead and select recover. This will just take a few moments, and in the meantime, I'll pull up the folder. So what I just showed you was multiple options of recovering and backing up data from Azure using Azure Storage for long-term retention, or using Azure directly as a backup solution to manage on-premise or cloud-based solutions. Remember, regardless of where these components reside, if it's a virtual machine in Amazon or Azure, we can install our agent inside of it from Azure Backup for DPM, or if you're already using a solution like Backup Exec or any other third-party vendor, they typically have a component now today as well that can extend into Azure. And you see my file is now recovered on my machine and my restore has been completed. So we had 3 options again. We used Azure directly, extended it, or we could just use on-prem technology to back up cloud solutions or not. Until this point, I've been demonstrating how Microsoft solutions can assist in hybrid management of services that reside on premises and in multiple vendor clouds. As an IT pro, we understand how critical monitoring applications and services is to our organization. What's System Center Operation Manager and Microsoft OMS? Operations Manager is a cross-platform data center management solution for operating systems, hypervisors, application, storage, and many things, as it provides alert generation, availability, performance, configuration, and security solutions. And you can see from this slide that we're currently monitoring from multiple endpoints, and we'll talk about Amazon integration as well. Operations Management Suite, specifically Operations Insight, extends capabilities in Operations Manager. Operational Insights is part of Microsoft's OMS suite, the SaaS service solution tailored for IT operations team. The service uses power of Azure to collect, store, and analyze log data from virtually any Windows Server and Linux source, from any data center or cloud, or in turn into a real-time operations intelligence to help you better make better informed decisions. So let's start our journey in Microsoft Operations Manager. You can see we're currently viewing our VMM dashboard, and we're viewing a number of our hosts. You can see from the hosts here, it's the same ones that I presented earlier with Virtual Machine Manager. This current host, Node 2, is running 40-some virtual machines currently in the environment. But Operations Manager can extend beyond just virtual machines, as I mentioned earlier. We can monitor network devices, as you can see here, a number one that we have from HP, Brocade, and our environment. Let's focus in a little bit on our switches. So we're going to take a look at switch DC01 and some of the options that we have over here. We're going to take a look at our node dashboards and break down some port information. So to save time, I've already opened this for us, but if we pick up our network node dashboard, you can see that we have a layout of our switches in our environment. If I select show computers, any physical boxes or even virtual machines that are hanging off those endpoints will be displayed. Now, depending on the switch that we have, it's a certified or accredited switch, our solution will be the amount of data points that can be returned. We get an overview of the physical switch, 7, 30 days, today, yesterday, and our environment. Response time, we get some information shown on the left. And we can scroll down and take a look at the ports. I'm going to select port 48. I know there's a high amount of bandwidth being sent and received from this port. So if we take a look at our options here, we can even break down the vicinity views and objects on our particular ports, which I've already opened for us. So now I'm looking at a specific port on a specific switch. As we look in hybrid and cloud, networking becomes so important, and to have a holistic view of our network is key. I've had many conversations with customers today that want to move to cloud services, yet don't have a good understanding of their network infrastructure. So here I'm seeing bytes and sent receive, packets sent receive, any discards or errors that I have in my environment on a specific port. Again, I haven't left any tools. I'm using the same tool set to look at a virtual machine, to look at my network, to look at storage. If you go ahead and minimize this, and we're going to scroll down and take a look at Azure services. So again, now from a single interface, I have selected virtual machines, I've selected network, and now I'm actually looking at cloud-based storage. So here's a number of storage containers that I'm running in Azure currently that we're monitoring. Just to show you it's beyond that, just storage, we're selecting here our number of virtual machines that we're currently monitoring through Azure as well. And there's a large number of configuration that we can do. If I select the administration section, let me zoom in for you, you can see that down here we can configure our Azure services, and on our screen we can select add a subscription. And those are the subscriptions that we can monitor through Operations Manager. But not only can we monitor Microsoft solutions, if we take a look at Amazon's own webpage here, you can see that there's management packs for System Center that allows us to monitor a large number of services within Amazon as well. So I mentioned earlier that a large number of our customers are looking at hybrid solutions and hybrid cloud vendors. So now we're looking at a single pane of glass that's monitoring on-premises, Microsoft Azure, Amazon Web Services, network, storage, applications, all from a single view. I currently don't have Amazon configured in my environment, but you can see here from our pane that we could then set up monitors per Amazon's recommendation to monitor any services that are running in their cloud. So I'm going to change the view for a moment. Quite often, from all the different design sessions and conversations I've had over the years with customers, management and leadership wants an executive dashboard, right? They want that view that they can see a holistic picture of their environment. That's the goal of Microsoft's Operations Management Suite and Ops Insight specifically. So what you're taking a look at on the screen currently is my main dashboard I've logged into OMS or Ops Insight. And there's a number of solutions that we're going to go through today. The first thing I want to look at on the left is this tab called Solutions Gallery. So we're going to select the Solutions Gallery. This is simple. It's meant to be nice and easy and painless. Currently, with about 13 to 14 different solutions that I have installed and configured, if any one of these wasn't enabled, like wire data or a new solution item came out, it's as simple as clicking the Add button and selecting OK, and then that solution is enabled. Depending on which one it is, it might take some time to aggregate, deploy the knowledge throughout the monitored systems in your environment, and then the data will start to feed back. So as we work our way across, I'm going to pinpoint a few key items that are in here. But if you notice, there's backup that we mentioned yesterday. This ties into our DPM as well as our Azure backup solution. Let's focus on change tracking. Quite often, organizations want to know what's changed in my environment, what software has been installed, what services have changed. So as soon as I click on this, you can see I get a beautiful dashboard showing me software changes, service changes, application changes, as well as different queries that I can perform. So let's go ahead and here select our first one, Node 2, and take a look at what's going on in the environment. The first thing you'll see is there's a query across the top. This is how we can break this down. We can manipulate that query. We can also change the custom range, 1 day, 6 hours in our environment. There's a large number of filters here on the left. You can see the software changes, who the publisher are, if it's added or removed. So let's go ahead and just select add for a moment and apply that filter. And as the query is going to change, and you'll see in a second, this remove button will go away. And I'm just looking at ads. So I can look at this quickly and see that most of these changes, zoom in for you, are software that are definition updates from our anti-malware solution that have been installed on this system. Again, I can manipulate if I have more filters or more changes going on, I can extend what I've done so far. I can also take this slide lever and say, well, I don't want to know those date ranges. Let's just go ahead and shrink it down really quick. On the fly, I've just changed my query to shorten to a specific date and time range and narrow it down. And vice versa, if I want to shrink it the opposite direction, I can do that. If there's a particular software I want to do, and now I've shrunk it down to a specific time and day. So we can get pretty granular on our searches. So if I go to the other side, I can also look at any service changes, application changes, as well my environment, or I can select any of these common queries that'll scope down my view for me. Let's go back to our main dashboard. So one of the real big important things today, especially with all the threats that we've had with Target and various organizations that have been compromised, providing a good view into security in your environment that's easily readable and easily configurable. OpsInsight can help with that. There's other solutions that Microsoft's offering now called Microsoft Threat Analytics that we're not going into today that you should take a look at as well. The funny thing is, every time I go in this environment, start looking around, I start scrambling and looking for threats in my environment to make sure everything's okay. The first thing you'll see is a nice dashboard again, looking at active computers, authentication process. Let's look at this suspicious activity. So again, scope down for last day by default. Again, I can manipulate that, change it hours, security events, wire data. This is the source data points. But you can see I have a large number of suspicious IPs. So let's select the top one and see what's going on in this environment. It's querying against Azure and using all the power of Azure behind it to aggregate this data and learning. So here's our endpoint, our internal IP. It's a known darknet threat, and I can expand this to show more what's going on. But you pay attention to this source, and I'm going to explain more later that it says Operations Manager. So I'm getting a whole bunch of data, the threat level, and allows me to now take some action, take a look. Again, I can filter on this environment as well. The other thing I can scroll over, and I take a look at notable issues. And the first one I see is password temps or resets or failed logons. So let's take a look at our failed logons. Recently, we had our data center manager just leave, and lo and behold, we see massive amounts of failed logons for his account. Well, his account's disabled, so maybe he left something logged in somewhere. This can help me track it down. So I can look at his account, I look at the computer where it's logging in from, I can scroll down and get an idea of the source. So right here from workstation 07, apparently there's a session that's logged in connecting to a particular machine. And you can see there's a number of them that I have in the environment. So he must have remote into a lot of places and just left that off in our environment. Earlier I found one that was a terminal session that he had left open that we could play back. So I could shrink back, go back a few days, see what's going on in our environment. But again, this helps me diagnose different information, visualize this in my environment, and take a look at it. So you can see our terminal services where there's existing sessions that I need to disconnect from them. So just quickly, that gave us a nice visualization. We've looked at some security events. We looked at change in our environment. Think about today, either the number of tool sets you're utilizing or the different groups and organizations that are trying to take a look at the environment and keep a clear picture, or how you're trying to aggregate a large number of systems together. So let's go back to our main dashboard. And we'll scroll down a little bit and look at a few more categories that we have. One of the ones that are very important, and this is a newer assessment that we've deployed, wire data. In a second, the data will come up for our visualization here, how we have number of agents, how many network subnets. But let's go ahead and select wire data. How many people today could honestly say they know how much traffic is being generated from each system and each server in their environment? It's a hard thing to do unless you have a very high network team, a lot of tool sets, or people trying to really specifically pinpoint the data going across their network. So here in a few clicks, we're now aggregating the type of traffic going across our network, the source machines. So we see node 2. Let's go ahead and select node 2 again for us. That's one of our Hyper-V hosts. The great thing about it, node 2 has a number of interfaces and the networks and subnets on it. And you can see the different networks that we have and the interfaces and the machines that we're talking to. I happen to know the 192 network is our InfiniBand networks that we use for live migration or SMB traffic. But I can drill down on that node even further and look at which ports and which protocols. So here we go. So node 2, a particular time and dates, talking UDP, IPv4. And I can source out that information, the amount of traffic, and it's the cluster service. This is a Hyper-V cluster. Most likely it's moving virtual machines around, and that's where a lot of the data is happening between nodes as it's moving machines, deploying virtual machines in our environment. But again, with a simple click or slider bar, I can aggregate certain time periods to network traffic. I can look at certain ports and protocols, certain directions. If I want to narrow my views down, I will look at just inbound traffic to that node over a particular port here. We can scope it down really easily with a few clicks of a button. So I'm getting great aggregate knowledge of my environment. Again, as you're moving to cloud-based service, it's very important to know generation, especially if you're going to pay for high-speed links or connecting links to some cloud vendor, and you need to try to size that environment for you. So go ahead and go back. Again, we're seeing a large amount of data here in our environment, authentication, we're constantly seeing views. And on the right, again, we have a large number of pre-done queries. Now we could have our own custom queries and pin those and save those into our environment. Up until now, I've been showing you just the main dashboard. It's nice, these are the solution gallery items that are installed, but maybe it's not what I care about because of my views. Maybe I have a particular job on the backup or on the change tracking person. On the left, there's a My Dashboard icon. I can select this. And in here, I can create my own custom views that I care about. You can see that I typically do a lot of virtualization, so a lot of my targets here are around that. I can select Customize at the bottom, and you see the interface just rapidly changes. I can add or remove tiles. Let me remove that one. I can select this one. I can manipulate the visualization. I can set thresholds so I can get a flag. Notice it's orange because my value is over zero. It's letting me know that something has been raised, an event has been raised in the environment. If I hit the Add button at the top, you can see that I have all the different solution galleries pre-done queries. Again, if I have created my own query, this will be surfaced here, and I can then pin that visualization. So let's just go ahead and pick something like malware signatures out of date. I simply selected that, and then I can go in here, change my threshold. I want to say, hey, anything over zero is probably I want to be notified. I want to make sure that all my in-time malware signatures are up to date. Otherwise, we need to go back. And again, we can go through any of these change tracking configuration from all the different solution gallery items that we have, SQL, software updates. Let's look for critical patches in the environment to see if any of those are missing. Or I want to look at some outbound network traffic by remote IP. And you can see that visualization. So a few simple clicks, and I select customization. And now I'm back, and I've amended and changed my dashboard. So when I log in and click my view, the nice thing about there's also a phone application for this that you can install. And you can get the same visualization experience and same view of your environment on a mobile device as you're porting around. Let's go back to our main dashboard. And we're going to go ahead and scroll all the way to the right, and we're going to select the settings. If you recall earlier, I mentioned to hold on to where that source data comes from. So let's work our way through our settings tabs really quick. Here's just another location where I can view or remove any of the solution gallery items that I have that I'm going to extend or remove from my environment. But the important one I want to take a look at is connected sources. So today, some people might say, well, I'm a smaller organization. I don't have the staff to be able to provide the data or the monitoring solutions or the know-how. But with Ops Insight, there's two ways that we can feed data. One, natively deploy agents from Operation Insights. So you can look right now, we have Windows Server 3264 and coming soon a native Linux agent. So you strictly just download these agents, install them on the endpoint, and that's it. With the solution gallery that's installed, it will start surfacing the data and feeding your dashboard, and you're done. No bulky servers to deploy, no big environments. Now, with that said, if we're doing direct agent monitoring, each machine needs internet access because it feeds its data back into Azure so that it can surface the dashboards. If you don't like the idea of every machine talking to the internet, second option here in the middle. There's a reason you saw all of my alerts and information, say Source Operations Manager, specifically our environment. Another way that you could feed data into Azure Operation Insights is from System Center Operation Manager. Again, I'm running a completely on-premises based solution, monitoring stuff in my data center, in Azure, in Amazon, network storage, visualizations, all from a single entity. So why not use that to surface the data? Ops Manager has a enterprise grade solution that allows for distributed architectures. What happens is I no longer have to install any of these Azure Ops Insight agents specifically. I just go into Operations Manager and wire up my settings to Azure, and I connect the groups together, and all the data goes into Ops Manager, and Ops Manager directly feeds Azure Insights from a single sourcing location. The other thing to take a look at is our storage. Azure Storage, and coming soon is Amazon. Again, showing how even our own cloud solutions will allow you to store data points, logs, et cetera, in Amazon Web Service and still surface the data. Again, showing the cross-platform hybrid management that we're getting today. If I select logs, you can see I can ingest a number of logs, security, authentication logs, warnings, errors, whichever ones I choose to do, logs from web servers, as well as perf counters that have been selected in my environment. I can choose which fields to manage or not. The last one, I can select accounts. Currently, there's three level accounts that we can access. There's a support, a standard Microsoft account like you get for Hotmail, or organizational account if using Azure Active Directory, right? And you have different levels. You can be an administrator or a user. And you can simply add any of these access levels here to see who logs in and what capabilities are allowed to manipulate or change, add additional organizations, notifications, et cetera, in the environment. You can also change the storage levels and data plans that you have. Currently, mine's set to 30 days, but we have different plans from 7 days to unlimited data that you can take a look at from our Azure Operational Insights. So let's just recap really quick what we've seen today. We demonstrated a number of Microsoft solutions utilizing System Center and Microsoft Azure to provide hybrid management solutions, but not only for Microsoft products, with Amazon, Linux, on-premise, VMware. For more information, you can review the summary section and view the following links. There's a link for System Center overview on Microsoft Virtual Academy. If you haven't used Microsoft Virtual Academy before, it's free online information. The following link is for Azure Backup, a little more information on that. And the two links below to Channel 9 and to Azure directly for Azure OMS or Operational Insights information. Okay, Dean, back to you for some live Q&A.
Hey, Brian, that was awesome, man. That was a lot of content. You covered a lot of solutions. For folks on the line, if you would like to get more information on hybrid cloud management, please feel free to reach out to your Microsoft account team or partner or person who invited you to this session. We covered a lot of content from System Center Virtual Machine Manager, Data Protection Manager, Operations Management Suite. There's a lot of things there, and it depends upon what your priorities are, maybe what's the first thing you would like to tackle or investigate. Also, we made some exciting announcements this week earlier on Tuesday. If you wanted to see the full broadcast of that, you can see that at Microsoft.com/October 2015 event. And our team goes through all the new releases we've just talked about with the Surface Pro 4, Surface Book, Microsoft Band, the new phone announcements, the new Xbox games that are coming out with Halo 5, and also most cool, I thought was really cool, was the new HoloLens virtual reality gaming experience that we showcased on that show as well. And also, I noticed some questions coming in that if you missed any part of the session, we have the session on demand also. You can go to aka.ms/mtcstudio. We'll be posting the recording up there afterward. Also, if you want to see any of our prior recordings as well, they're up there as well. Also, on this session, we have handouts with a copy of the presentation and also some white paper links as well. But now, if you have any questions, we'll take any live Q&A. I'll bring Brian back online. Thanks, Brian. Hey, how you doing? Man, you
hey,
covered
hey,
a lot
good.
Of stuff.
Good, thanks. And to note that we only covered a small set of System Center. Some of the questions we saw was around client management. We didn't do anything with Intune or Configuration Manager, which is a massive conversation with itself. We have our service management component, and Windows Azure Pack could be thrown in there as well. So there's even more to System Center and more to hybrid management than we had time for today. But I do hope you enjoyed it out there. And I definitely have been dying to get myself a HoloLens as well. I showed my son the video. I'm like, hey, you're playing Roblox the other day. Look how we're going to do it soon. And he was like, can I have it now?
Yeah. For folks on the line, what do you see, Brian, as maybe the best way to start? You know, let's say a lot of our customers, they have, you know, VMware, they have Hyper-V, they have Amazon Cloud, they're looking at Azure. What do you see a lot of customers starting in terms of hybrid cloud management?
All right, great question. True answer, it depends on what your motive and directive is, right? Are you trying to tackle just monitoring management, dashboarding? I'll tell you, though, the one thing that probably excites the people the most is the OMS or Ops Insight that I showed at the end there. Mm-hmm. Because quite often, people just don't have the eyes into a holistic view in their environment. And the reality of it is to configure operational insights. It's very simple. Like I said, you either have Ops Manager today and you just connect it and the data feeds happen, or you just drop an agent on a machine with no server infrastructure and you start getting all these visualizations that normally is spread across many teams. Even through that, we only covered maybe two or three of the solution gallery items, and we're constantly adding new and additional ones in the environment as well. So there's a lot of data that you can do, especially on the security and auditing side, that gives people a nice, simple, single place that either management can look at or staff can really aggregate all of their data. Other than that, organizations are either doing a lot of custom work or have a dozen sets of tools that are out there and going to different interfaces. So that one, to me, is the one that's probably the most exciting. And then from there on, getting that single management interface, whether it's with Azure Pack and Azure Stack down the future, where I can have my own kind of version of Azure running in my data center, but I also have hooks into either Amazon, so more of a self-service model for my end users, and then really tying it all together with Service Manager, where you can now have a ticketing system that hooks into the orchestration suite, which we didn't talk about today, that can deploy and automate VMs or services or anything to cloud services. So,
wow, that's a lot. In fact, I noticed that you've got a ping. Someone's pinging you from the dark night IP address, right? Looks like that.
Oh, yeah, the dark net, yeah.
We got to look and see what that is. You also mentioned some links on how people can get some self-study on some of this information. Can you go over those again, like Virtual Academy and things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Even myself, Virtual Academy is a great place to go. It's free. You just need a Microsoft account or a Lab ID, whatever flavor we're calling it this week. And you sign in, and you have an unlimited amount of content up there from either System Center, Cloud, you name it, SQL, BI. They're very much like this, on demand, just video playback sessions, either demos or conversational. Great place to start. Also, for a little bit of hands-on, TechNet Virtual Labs is always a great place to go. Typically, you can go spin up an environment and get some hands-on experience. And then even for a lot of the technology we showed today, you can sign up for an Azure trial, right? You can sign up for OMS, Azure Backup, and start creating virtual machines, backing up, and messing around with Ops Insight. So those are three great places.
That's great. Well, thanks, Brian. I think the Azure trial is a free subscription, right? So people can get free access for about a month to try out the solutions, right?
Correct. You get like 30 days.
Yeah, and again, if any of the folks on the line have specific questions or want to engage either Brian or myself, please reach out to the folks who invited you to the session. We have technology centers around the U.S. and actually around the globe that can help you with your specific requirements and where you want to focus on next. And then we can help you maybe architect and design a roadmap to where you can start to manage these areas like Brian illustrated today. But with that, I also want to highlight that next week we have actually, in the next 3 weeks, we have sessions coming up on Internet of Things, IoT. We have some of the architects joining us to talk about the next big wave that we see is how do you manage all these devices that are running everything from elevators to AC systems. It's what we call the Internet of Things. And our architects will be talking about the overview of the architecture and some use cases with that over the next 3 weeks. So I encourage you to join those series. But with that, we're signing off for this week. Wanted to thank everyone for joining, and take care.